WTBR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Michael Toscano. CBS affiliate KOTV reports a death has been confirmed in the Oklahoma town of Barnsdall near Tulsa, struck by a tornado. KOTV's Cal Day is there.
We've seen houses that have been completely leveled. Just talked with the Osage County Emergency Management Director. They believe that many people are trapped in homes in some of the hardest hit areas. It is difficult for them to get to those homes right now because of so many live down power lines. They are waiting on those power crews to get in here.
The severe storms brought large hail into Kansas. An Israeli tank brigade has taken control of the Gaza side of the Rafah crossing with Egypt. This comes after Hamas has accepted and Israel has rejected a ceasefire proposal brokered by Egypt and Qatar. That's causing protests in Israel, as CBS's Skylar Henry tells us.
Protesters, including hostages' families taken on October 7th, took to the streets of Tel Aviv.
Urge the Israeli government to do the right thing and sign this hostage deal.
Israel says Rafah is the last significant Hamas stronghold in Gaza.
Protests over the war in Gaza have moved uptown in New York City, confronting people going to the glittering Met Gala, where the A-listers show off their latest fashions.
Holocaust survivor and rabbi, 94-year-old Arthur Scheer, finds the fist and flames on the protest flyers reminiscent of Holocaust propaganda.
It shows very clearly the objective to undermine the pressures.
Demonstrators marched a mile up towards the Met Gala.
Odyssey's Christy Kalishian. Boeing called off its first astronaut launch just as two NASA test pilots had strapped into the Starliner capsule. CBS News correspondent Peter King is at the Kennedy Space Center.
Ironically, the trouble wasn't with a new spacecraft, but with a valve on the second stage of the usually reliable Atlas rocket. Engineers opened and closed it several times. They didn't like what they saw or heard.
The blue team could hear the valve buzzing when they were upstairs in the white room.
United Launch Alliance CEO Tory Bruno says engineers are working to determine whether the Atlas and Starliner are safe to fly with the valve as is.
Rescheduling has not been announced. Boeing is being investigated over possibly falsified records on its planes. CBS's Matt Piper has that.
The FAA has opened an investigation after being notified by Boeing that some employees failed to complete specific inspections on some 787 Dreamliners, but reported the checks as having been completed, essentially falsifying inspection records.
The San Antonio Spurs' Victor Wembanyama has been unanimously named NBA Rookie of the Year after a record-setting season. He led all first-year players in scoring, rebounds, and blocks. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
James here, host of Unlabeled, your 90s mixtape, every Sunday from 8 to 9 on WFHR. It's your weekly dose of music, nostalgia, and pop culture exclusively on locally grown radio.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The election leader in Wisconsin's largest city is out 6 months before the presidential election. Mayor Cavalier Johnson says he's replacing Election Commission Director Claire Woodall with her deputy, Paulina Gutierrez. Milwaukee has had its share of scrutiny in a swing state like Wisconsin, where four of the last six presidential elections have been decided by less than a percentage point. A collection of art by inmates of Wisconsin state prisons is on view at the Neville Public Museum in Green Bay. Curator Deborah Bremer says people are surprised by the quality of the art, but that she also understands.
It's about hardship, it's about crimes, it's about victims.
Art Against the Odds is on display through Sunday the 19th. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
The Brewers lose to the Royals. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers losing 3-2 to the Royals. The threat of a severe thunderstorm forced moving up the start time of last night's game in Kansas City up by a half hour. The Brewers were leading 2-0 in the seventh when Pat Murphy made a controversial decision, sending in reliever Jared Koenig to the mound, who gave up a home run on the way to a three-run rally for KC.
I was second-guessing myself for not putting Koenig in there right now, knowing that it could be a shortened game with the weather coming. And unfortunately, we give up the home run and a two-strike home run, that non-executed pitch, and then they capitalize after that.
NFL, Jeff Hafley, the Packers' new defensive coordinator, met with reporters and talked about the team's new safety. He's the man they call X, short for Xavier McKinney.
Well, I'll just say it's been so nice to have X. What a pro. I mean, how hard he works, the communication, the way he is in the meeting rooms, the way he looks out for the younger guys.
That's Packers defensive coordinator Jeff Hafley. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. A partly cloudy sky here the overnight and breezy southeast winds. By sunrise, upper 40s to around that 50-degree mark. Showers and storms set to move in Tuesday, especially in the afternoon. Breezy, highs reaching the middle 60s. Right now, it's 55.
Crude and Dom.
Donald Trump is interviewing the celebrity apprentices that want to be his vice president, and he's back in court in New York. Tune in, Devil's Advocates. All the coverage you need.
The Devil's Advocates. Weekdays 4 till 6. Locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Bach, Calvin Butenhoff coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. It is a gorgeous, gorgeous day. You have the chance to get outside, take your lunch outside, go
Sounds
for a little
good.
Walk.
See ya.
Not you, not yet. We have an hour to go. Calvin, you're staying here too. I want to thank again retired Major General Randy Manor for joining us in the previous half hour. That will be a podcast. If you would like to share it with someone,
please,
or there's someone you think should listen to it, just go to civicmedia.us, click on shows, go to Matt and Air on Air, and that will take you to all of the shows since the beginning.
All archived there.
And I just think it's a really important discussion, and we're going to keep having this discussion because people do not appreciate, I don't think, the severity of what this would mean for all of us.
Yeah.
Regardless of how you vote. This would have wide ramifications for all of us.
And something that I don't want to... No, you know, I'm just going to sound alarmist. I'm just going to do it. For those out there who think, oh, this isn't a big deal, you're being overdramatic, you may be right to a certain degree that the former president getting a second shot at the presidency might not affect you immediately. But as Randy said, this would take about 2 years.
Really fast.
Yep. And you may agree with the president at the time, like if you agree with Trump, but as we've seen before, he has a predilection towards turning his back on people and individuals who all of a sudden have shunned him or disagree with him, and you don't even know it. So just remember, just because they're not pointing the finger at you now doesn't mean they won't be pointing the finger at you later down the road. And you might not like Joe Biden or liberals or, you know, even the rhinos, they're still going to try to preserve the democracy that we are used to. It's not the best democracy. We can definitely work on this republic, but it's not going to be the life-altering shift that's going to happen if and I don't like being alarmist. I don't like doing this, but everything points to it because we're listening to him talk.
With 36 years of experience in the military.
No, I'm saying we're listening to Trump talk.
Oh, to Trump, yeah.
No. What
Randy Manor said.
What Randy Manor said is true. What Steve Anderson said is very true. And I even want to like just really quick go back and to the original gentleman we had a few months ago in February, I believe, all saying the same thing. But more importantly, Admiral Jeff Smith.
That's right.
But more importantly, we're listening to the words of Donald Trump. He is saying these things, the people around him. So it's not us making it up. It's not us twisting a truth. It's not us trying to make you scared. He is saying this is going to happen.
Read Project 2025.
Yes.
Seriously, we'll put a link into the show notes.
Yeah.
It's a long read. It's 900 pages long.
Not the best written thing either.
Well, yeah. Is it scintillating? I'm not sure.
Scintillating.
But it's definitely worth looking at and learning more about.
Yeah.
Because this is the plan, and I think it's important to remember as well that Liz Cheney said, "We can stand." She doesn't like Joe Biden, obviously. But she said, "We can stand 4 years of bad policies. We can't survive burning down the Constitution."
No, and they've said they're going to.
Donald Trump said it. Let's just suspend the Constitution for a couple of days.
I'd like to see how some of the conservatives who support him in the Congress would say to that the first time. It's like, we're moving to suspend the Constitution. What they would say, who would stand, who would sit, who would say yay, who would say nay.
As long as they think they're going to be safe, they'll go along with it.
Yeah.
Right?
But no one's truly safe.
That's a very good point.
Yeah.
I think that's a very good point. All right, moving on. Coming up at 11:33, we're going to talk to Kip Adams about car-deer collisions and what a serious problem this is, not just in Wisconsin, but all across the country.
Correct.
And there are some pretty shockingly high numbers that I was not aware of until we spotted this article.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have questions for him or comments, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. I stumbled across this article over the weekend from Axios. They're called dumb phones, Greg. Dumb phones are making a comeback, according to the New Yorker. It's basically a flip phone that doesn't have the apps.
It's a flip phone. Yeah.
Essentially. So you can't scroll on anything. You can't play any games. You just use the phone for its original purpose of a phone.
It's not a dumb phone. It's just a phone.
That's what it says. A dumb phone is a basic 90s-inspired cell phone without all the apps that contribute to high screen times, basically for texting and for calling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which, I mean, I don't like to be like, back in my day, because it wasn't really my, I mean, we had like that. I remember having a Sprint flip phone, and it was luxurious.
I loved my flip phone.
It was the first Sprint phone to have a camera on it.
Ooh.
I know.
Whoa, really that going back
half
in
a
time.
Megapixel of power.
But there is a growing number of people who are trying to break up with their smartphones.
Yeah.
Because we spend so much time scrolling on our screens. Is that something you would consider doing? Would you get rid of your smartphone and just go back to a phone?
Mm-hmm. Take out the fact of whether you can or cannot. Like, we understand there are some people who do need it, whether you are doctors, lawyers, people who are on call. We get that. But if you could, would you get rid of your phone and go back to the old ways? Text, call only.
Right.
No apps. No doom scrolling. No posting on the social meds. No tweeting. No post-annexing. You know, when I say it, I'm like,
You feel better, don't you?
I do.
Right?
We do. I do. I totally do.
And again, because I'm the age I am, I didn't grow up with, you know, we didn't have cell phones. We didn't have smartphones. Mm-hmm. You had to be home. If you wanted to get a phone call, you had to be home. And so even when I got into my 20s, I was very, very slow to adapt and get a cell phone and get a smartphone. But it's so much a fabric of our kids' lives.
Yep.
And in Manchester, Connecticut, the principal, Raymond Dolphin, of a middle school there 2 years ago, he said there was a problem. The kids aren't all right. And the problem was the cell phones.
Yes.
Students using their cell phones in class, even though there's rules that they can't. Social media making every conflict among students worse.
Yes.
The principal says when he walked the hallways or went into the cafeteria, all he saw was heads bent over screens. So we banned them.
Good.
Good. Not everybody was happy.
Eh.
Not everyone was happy, at least initially, including parents who were complaining about not being able to get in touch with their kids.
Well, this is, and I talked to you about this before we went on air. Before I say that, we did get a text right away from the 262 saying, no, I love my phone. I love it. That's it.
I'm not trying to take it away from
you. No one's trying to take it away from you. We're not trying to take your phones or your guns, but when I was in school, and I am like that generation almost between, like me and the millennials, I went to high school in the 90s, And if you had a cell phone, your father invented a number, or your mother was a mathematician, or you had a lot of money to have a phone. If you want to get a hold of your kid, you called the office. They called you and they said, hey, come to the office.
And they
or they brought you a note saying your mom called. She's picking you up early because of such and such. They're not impossible ways. And don't act like the old ways are impossible, because they're still there. Phones are still, they have landlines at schools.
Still.
Yeah.
They do. Yes. Yeah. So here's how that worked. At 8 o'clock in the morning, when the kids come in, they have to put their phones into these individual pouches made of rubber. Mm-hmm. There's a magnetic lock at the top of the pouch, and then they put them in their backpacks until school is over at 2:45.
Yeah. I mean, it says in the article, this is something that we're kind of getting used to with events too. There are comedians out there. If you go to a certain venues, they bring these bags along, and you have to put your phone in there, and they store them. I mean, honestly, if I know that they're doing that, I'm leaving my phone in the car.
Yeah,
I don't even really want my phone out of my hand, out of my possession like that. But yeah, I mean, there you go. And the results
have been good.
Yes.
Gemma Brown says she was really mad about it initially, but now she says, I can focus more on classes. There are days when she actually forgets she has her phone on her.
Yeah.
And they're interacting more with each other.
Yes.
They're talking instead of at the cafeteria now, instead of everybody just eating their food and interacting with their phone, they're talking to other kids.
Yeah.
I don't know, and developing relationships
and
communication
social
skills.
Exactly. I don't think you need phones in the schools. I just don't. And that's, you know, I'm not a parent. I'm sure if there's a parent who wants to call and be like, you don't understand. You're absolutely right. I do not understand. But I also existed in a time before phones. So,
well, and just think about all of the bullying and the terrible abuse that our kids are subjected to through their cell phones.
So a little piece of confession from me. I grew up bullied pretty hard, especially first through eighth grade. Very bad. Not a fun time. Wouldn't go back if you paid me.
Kids are mean.
Kids are mean, and kids are sensitive too. I mean, we don't know anything. We have barely any memories in our brains. And high school was a little bit better, but I will tell you this: I would happily go back and redo 12 years of that world, than go through a year or two of what kids go through now, because it comes at you at all ends, physically, verbally, mentally,
online. You can't get away from it.
No, thank you. It sounds horrifying to me.
855-752-4842 if you'd like to join the conversation. Cindy from Appleton. Good morning, Cindy. Thank you so much for joining us.
Hello. I wish they'd ban that stuff on the bus, too, because as a bus driver, a lot of that stuff these kids do on the phone is so disruptive on the bus. Mm-hmm. And kids are just bombarded with stuff anyway. What is wrong with, and I mean, a lot of the kids, unfortunately, have phones. Thankfully, some of them don't. Kind of depends on their age range. But I just don't think kids need to be bombarded with all this stuff continuously. It's not good for them. It's not good for anybody to be continuously bombarded with advertisements, noise, texting, all that stuff. There's got to be a time where you get away from all that stuff, and people don't seem to do that anymore. And I just think you're missing out on so much other things. I mean, go take a walk and leave your phone at home, for God's sakes.
And just listen to the birds, right? And just listen to the sounds. We're coming up against a break, Cindy. Thank you so very much for calling. And as always, thank you for listening.
I was just going to say, you could take the kids out of that and put the adults in there, too. Same thing applies. We could all use time away.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
855-752-4842. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Up North News Radio.
Hey, so what's a great way to spread awareness that driving high is illegal everywhere? A catchy song, of course.
You can run, but you can't drive high. You can run, but you can't.
friendly reminder, don't drive high. If you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
State Senator Kelda Royce in Richland County. The UW system made the unilateral decision to completely vacate the campus by July 1st of this year.
It's so short-sighted to think it costs a little bit more money to run it and there aren't as many students, so let's just shut it down. A smart business owner would say now is the time to invest because we know every person that comes through the door, you're going to get 40-fold the investment from how they're going to be able to give back to our state.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids' home of Nightlight with Peach Schwabba.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Well, I just got paid. It's Friday night. Feeling real good. Weekend in sight. Got a new phone, a new belt clip attached to my hip. Even got the chip. Now everyone can
good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Buck, Dr. Slide on the board. You can always join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Elon continues to actively ruin. We are talking about cell phones and more people going back to regular flip phones, trying to get away from the constant scrolling and the constant doom scrolling and all of the things we get sucked, all the rabbit holes we get sucked into on our phones.
We had a comedian come through sometime last year, and they were doing a joke where they asked an audience member to like either read off text messages or let them look at text messages. And he asked this like 19-year-old kid. Kid pulled out a flip phone, and the whole room was like, oh, my God.
Did they gasp?
Yeah, and, like, I'm sure there were younger people in there who were like, how do you do that? I'm sure there were older people in there, but there was a fair amount of us who were like, that sounds amazing. Because I'm one of those people. I don't know about you, Jane, but I think you're in the same camp as me. I have to have a smartphone because I have to be accessible for work, for both jobs. I don't love that fact, but it is part of the job I accept. So going back to a flip phone would just be not impossible, improbable.
And impractical.
Exactly.
As you said, there are certain professions where you just can't.
Yeah.
You probably just can't. And I get so much information from the web and unfortunately what used to be Twitter, because that's still where I go quite a bit.
Yeah.
But I am guilty of it as well, as far as the doom scrolling and just getting sucked into it. Really, really interesting article called A Time We Never Knew.
Yeah.
It was printed, posted in After Babel, and the author is Freya India. I have never heard of this. This is how she starts it. There's a beautiful and melancholic word I like. It's called anemoia.
Mm-hmm.
Anemoia is feeling nostalgic for a time or place one has never known. And she said, this is something I often get from my generation. She's Gen Z. I see it on old YouTube videos of proms from the 90s that get millions and millions of views. And she said, what's amazing to me about that is they didn't have phones. They had each other.
Mm-hmm.
They were talking to one another. They were looking out for one another. They interacted with one another instead of this one-way interaction with your phone.
Yeah. You get home and you call your friend after school, and you might even spend 2 hours on the phone with them, but you just saw them for 8 hours, and like there's something different about it. It's the article is kind of heartbreaking.
It really is.
Yeah.
She just talks about all the things that she feels that her generation is missing because they have been raised on phones.
Mm-hmm.
Going for bike rides, going to the park, going, you know, she said, I can't remember a time, or she would have liked to have gone back through school without worrying about how many likes her post got.
Yeah.
Without worrying about the mean thing the boy said to her in a text.
Yeah. Back in high school, you just worried about the mean thing they said about you to their other friend, but face to face. And the thing is like these Gen Z are now starting to pine for other things as well, as far as what, you know, I grew up having, you know, more of a base, like less streaming, the ability to not have to, you don't have to worry about spoilers. You don't have a phone, or you have a very basic phone. The beginnings of the internet, where it was basically like four websites and instant messenger. And that term anemoia is beautiful, because I think about those kids watching it saying they want that. And granted, I can go back and be like, hey, man, there was some questionable fashion choices and some of the music wasn't great. But it makes me appreciate that I did grow up in that weird...
kind of straddling both.
Exactly. Like, you know, telling, like, remembering my life without cell phones and with, like, 23 channels and a landline, but then telling my niece and nephew, yeah, when I was a kid, we didn't have any of this stuff. We didn't have an iPad. We didn't have a cell phone. We didn't have Netflix. And their eyes are like, what? Yeah, it hasn't always been here. So, and I don't know if you want to read a couple of them, but there were comments. She read, she printed, the author of this piece printed some of the comments from these videos. And they just rip your heart out.
It's so sad. One of the quotes is, the whole concept of a real childhood is completely out the window at this point in time. And that's extremely sad to me. By the way, I'm 15.
Yeah.
Born in 2003. I'm 20 years old. I wasn't even conceived at the time of this video. It leaves me feeling empty. My high school experience was nothing like this. It almost makes me angry because I've never had simple, straightforward interaction as seen in this video. Even looking at the people in the background, they're there. They're mm-hmm. completely present. They're not buried in their phones. Yeah. They are not witnessing what's happening through a little lens.
Yeah.
They're actually in the moment.
So there's another one here. As someone who graduated in 2015, this looks like such a nice time. Not a phone in sight, people actually talking face-to-face. I wish I could have grown up in an era like that.
Calvin, how old were you when you got your first cell, your first phone?
Before I went to seventh grade, so 12 or 13.
Was it a smartphone or a flip phone for ease?
It was one of those ones with the keyboard that slid up.
Yeah. Okay.
And then I got an iPhone the end of eighth grade, I think. So I was 14 or going on 15.
What kind of influence do you think that had? Or what kind of impact did that have on your high school years? Do you think it would have been more positive if you hadn't had it?
There was definitely something like internet stuff that happened, like not even necessarily to me, but bullying wise that happened at our school that wouldn't have happened without the internet. But at the same time, I feel like a lot of that stuff would have still happened, just it would have been in a different form.
Oh, bullies have always been around, and bullying has always been a thing. But I think the advent of texting and all the social media sites has made it infinitely worse. Because, I mean, as you said, Greg, you can't get away from it.
When I was a kid, kids beat me up physically. What they do now is they make up Facebook accounts, or not Facebook, but like Snapchat accounts, and bully these kids through that.
Yeah,
and they're untraceable. And it's, yeah, we can't take the phones away. I don't want to take the phones away. I really don't. Like, but I think these articles, which will all be on the show notes, they make a good argument to say, all right, we can put the phones down for a little bit, put the phone upstairs on the charger and watch a movie or go for a walk or call, I don't know, like find a different phone and call your mom. I don't know, but like, it's not impossible. It's absolutely not, because we existed before it. And kids can exist without it too. And you can just take a moment, an hour or two of your day, and just say, hey, just put it down.
I'm going to just for an hour.
Exactly.
Take a little break.
It's possible.
It is possible. All right. Thank you very much.
It's the most old man I felt in a long time. These kids don't understand before the internet.
And don't walk on his lawn, because he'll get really, really upset.
It really
about
needs
that.
To actually need to be mowed today. I'm going to mow it today.
All right. We're going to talk about deer and cars. And where Wisconsin ranks in the number of deer automobile collisions, it's a lot higher than you might think. Stay with us. News is next. You're listening to Matt Nair on air, coming to you across the vast Civic Media Radio Network.
Thank you for calling. Talking on my cell phone, baby. Talking on my cell phone, baby. Talking to you on my cell phone. Talking on my cell phone, baby.
Can you hear me now? You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
CBS News Brief. Two deaths have been confirmed after a tornado swept through the town of Barnesdall, Oklahoma, near Tulsa. KOTV's Chloe Abbott is there.
First thing we saw was a home with a roof that had covered their front door, and a family of three could not get out, and we just saw first responders carrying them to safety, and there is tons of piles of debris everywhere. So many homes have been destroyed.
The severe storm system lashed towns throughout northeast Oklahoma and dropped large hail in Kansas. Boeing postponed its first astronaut launch 2 hours before the planned liftoff because of a rocket valve problem.
The team will work on that all night. Fair chance we'll know tomorrow whether the valve exceeded its life or not, or whether it has enough life against the qual limit that we established to do another attempt.
That's United Launch Alliance's president and CEO, Tory Bruno. CBS News Brief. I'm Michael Toscano.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Governor Evers is again calling Republican lawmakers into a special meeting to release $140 million to fight PFAS pollution and respond to hospital closures in Eau Claire and Chippewa Falls. The Joint Finance Committee is already scheduled to meet Tuesday, but neither item is on the agenda. The money for PFAS cleanup has been held up for close to a year. Universities of Wisconsin System President Jay Rothman says he won't rule out police removing tents again from campus like they did in Madison last week. Rothman says it's illegal because it's unsanitary and unsafe.
As your mother told you, nothing good happens after midnight, right? So I think we really are concerned about the safety issue, and the encampments ultimately will be gone.
Rothman on WISN-TV's Upfront. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
I'm Pete with a 60-second showbiz beat. In weekend box office news, it looks like moviegoers are smarter than critics, at least when it comes to The Fall Guy. The film was supposed to be the first big summer blockbuster, but the numbers at the gates suggest differently. The film opened with almost $29 million over the weekend. It was number one at the box office, but opened with a 50% lower take than Guardians of the Galaxy 3 in 2023. There might be hope on the horizon with the releases of the new Mad Max film and Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes in the next few weeks. Brooke Shields is a team player when it comes to bearing all on screen. It was recently reported in the New York Post that the actress agreed to strip down almost to her altogether to make her co-star Benjamin Bratt feel less vulnerable. Shields told hosts on The View that she thought it was unfair Bratt was basically naked except for what's called a modesty sock, which was used to cover Ben Jr. No word yet on whether it took a tube sock, dress sock, or footy to cover Bratt's modesty. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. A partly cloudy sky here the overnight and breezy southeast winds by sunrise, upper 40s to around that 50-degree mark. Showers and storms set to move in Tuesday, especially in the afternoon. Breezy, highs reaching the middle 60s. Right now it's 55.
Let's get back to live music in the lair with Kaylin Cole. The next song you have for us tonight is called 1103. Yes. Is that a time or a flight number?
Oh, that's actually really good. That's a good idea. I think I might have to write another song with that. You'll get 50%.
It's live in the lair. Grab the podcast now at maxincradio.com and listen live on Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Matt Mayer on air.
We Energies said the raccoon came into contact with some equipment in a substation. I just have this vision of this raccoon being egged on by his buddy raccoon going, touch them both. See what happens. Do that. Then touch that one.
They're not cute. They're not cuddly. They are disease-ridden, opposable thumb-having little trash pandas.
Matt Mayer on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Maggie Dawn.
On my next show, I'll be interviewing 14th Assembly District candidate Brady Coulthard. I'm also going to break down Trump's interview with Time Magazine. Gotta fact check the heck out of that one.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Well, late one night while driving home, I stopped to use a roadside phone to call my wife and tell her I was headed back. When somewhere out of that mist and fog came a big deer running from a pack of dogs, and that deer ran right into the side of my Cadillac.
Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Buck, Calvin coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can join the conversation. You can call or text at 855-75-CIVIC. 855-752-4842, or leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Excited to have our next guest join us. I knew that we crashed into deer quite a lot in Wisconsin. I didn't realize we crashed into them quite this much. Kip Adams is joining us. He is with the National Deer Association. Thank you so much for joining us, Kip. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me.
Wisconsin ranks fifth in this list that I saw in this article from CNN as far as the number of car deer crashes. Coming, number one is West Virginia. It's 1 in 38. Montana's number two, a 1 in 53 chance. Pennsylvania, number three, at 1 in 59. And Wisconsin and Michigan are tied with a 1 in 60 chance of hitting a deer. And a lot of these are fatalities or end up with deaths, right, Kip?
They certainly can. And, you know, it's crazy to think that, you know, in many cases, deer are far more dangerous to us than and a lot of other animals like alligators, rattlesnakes that people think of being far more dangerous.
Well, I guess one thing is the frequency with which we encounter them. Is that one of the reasons why there's just so many of them?
That's exactly it. And in your ranking there, you know, has to do with one, you have a lot of deer in your state and you have a lot of drivers. So those two factors put together is what makes you high on that list. But certainly the number of animals in a state that you have a chance to hit ups your odds a lot. And then the dangerous part comes from we tend to hit them going really fast.
Well, and it's at dusk and it's at sunrise, right? It's the kind of the twilight hours when they are most active, for one thing.
That's exactly right. The way that they see, you know, they can do best at dawn and dusk being most active. Hence, we can't see that great then. So we don't tend to see them until they're either right in front of us or moving in front of us at a high rate of speed. But you are correct. Those are the two times a day that motorists are far more at risk of hitting a deer.
I mean, I remember the one time I've been lucky living in the state. I've only had one interaction with a deer, and that was on a family trip. And I remember being asleep and then immediately not being asleep because the car came to a dead stop and we hit the deer and the deer went flying. My dad told me this. He said, the deer went flying and just sort of like got up and was like, all right, well, I'm done with that. I'm going to go off and just knock the whole front end of our car off.
Wow.
Yeah. I know so many people who've had encounters like just cars destroyed by them.
Oh, absolutely. I have a friend who was on a motorcycle and the deer essentially tried to jump over the bike. That didn't go so well. And he was in a really serious crash. So that's certainly another consideration of people who are on motorcycles. What can we do about this, Kip? Is it just part of life? We just have to deal with it? I mean, put extra bumpers around our cars or something?
Well, if you live in deer country, it is absolutely a part of life. However, there are things that we can do, you know, to make it a little bit safer for ourselves. And one is just knowing times of the day when they're most active, like you mentioned, dawn and dusk. Be extremely careful then, as well as times of the year. We hit more deer during the spring and fall than any other point. Spring is when fawns are hitting the ground. So they tend to be a lot more active and they're closer to roads. And in the fall of the year, you know, when it's their breeding season, they're crossing roads a lot more. So as motorists, just knowing, hey, these are the higher risk times, then we can be a little bit more careful, maybe slow down a little more in those low light situations. That can absolutely help us.
Kip Adams is our guest. He's the chief conservation officer for the National Deer Association, talking about this article on CNN that talks about just the number of deer car collisions, and Wisconsin's right up there. We're at number 5, but as it says too, forget about sharks and bears. It's deer that you should be worried about. John from Boaz is on the line. Good morning, John. Thank you so much for joining us. What did you want to say?
Yeah, I would like to ask the professor what he thinks about deer whistles. And the good news is, Jane, is that we don't be hitting mooses up here in Wisconsin.
So, certainly you'd rather, if you have to hit something, I guess, John, a deer is preferable over a moose.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and agree with that.
thank you for listening, John. What about the deer whistles, Kip? What are those?
That's a great question. Deer whistles are little plastic devices that you can put, used to be on your bumper. Mm-hmm. They're made so as you're driving down the road, air flows through them. They're supposed to emit a really sharp whistle to scare deer away from the roads. People have sold millions of these. The reality of it is, they don't help at all.
They don't.
Deer hear very similar to what we do. So the hearing range is really, really similar. So even if they heard one, they're not hearing those coming at them. They may hear them once the car goes by. Yeah. But there's scientific studies looking at the use of those. They don't help at all. So don't waste your money on those, and don't put those on and fool yourself thinking, you know what, this is helping me.
That's what's going to protect you.
When I was thinking whistle, I'm thinking traditional, like maybe like a whistle.
That's what I thought of too.
But now I can remember, those little black tubular things that you put on the front bumper and they'd always fall off. They get knocked off the first thing. Yeah. demystifying deer all whistles. the untruth. Thank you, Kip. We appreciate that.
Around 2.1 million deer vehicle collisions happen every year, causing more than $10 billion in economic losses. I can't imagine the insurance claims for folks who have had more than one encounter. And every year, deer car collisions account for almost 60,000 human injuries and 440 deaths.
Yeah. And you know what? It's got to be a minimum number, because there's a fair number of accidents where somebody apparently just swerved off the road, where they can't find a deer. They don't know cause of accident, or, you know, if the person died, I'm sorry, cause of death. But there's a lot of those that it's surmised that, you know what, they think that person swerved to miss a deer, ended up wrecking in the process. So one of the big things, and I know this is hard, Jane, say, you know, like, do not swerve. It's way better to hit that deer with the front of your car, something that's built for impact, than to swerve, lose control of your vehicle, and then roll it, hit a tree, hit an oncoming car or whatever. So that's a big thing for them. As you know, I have a young daughter who drives now, and we stress that all the time. I don't want you to hit a deer. Slow down. But at the end of the day, do not swerve sharply.
To avoid it.
It's going to be a lot worse.
Well, and certainly if there's other traffic on the roadway or traffic coming in the opposite direction, you could try to do the right thing and not hit the deer and then crash into somebody else. I am guilty of this. I break for squirrels. I'm that terrible person who does that.
I mean, you can slow for squirrels. They're going to get out of your way. But I mean, this is very, very valuable information for me because, you know, Kip, you live in Georgia, correct?
I live in Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania.
So,
oh, okay.
We're pretty high in that deer list as well.
Okay. So yeah, we're both in deer country, and I've been seeing deer signs my entire life. And while I pay attention to them, I don't think about them. So this information, like time of day, time of year, hit them head on. Don't try to swerve.
They're good reminders.
This is all good reminders and valuable. Well, not even reminders. This is information I didn't know as a driver for a long time. I just don't want to hit a deer.
I know. But as Kip said too, it's better to take them on than try and avoid it. 855-752-4842 if you'd like to join us. Mark from Prairie du Sac. Good morning, Mark. Thanks for joining us. What did you want to say?
Yeah, I was just remembering that back in, it must have been in the late 60s, my Aunt Peg actually hit a moose. And it didn't, and that's back when the cars were big. She had a big old station wagon at the time. And it didn't turn out well for the moose or for the car. fortunately she was not injured. And I've hit a few deer in my driving career, and I was thinking yesterday, I was, you know, driving down, you know, at a, actually it was Highway 78, driving, you know, at the speed limit, and a guy went flying by me on a motorcycle, and he must have been doing 80. And I go, I just had a vision of a deer, you know, because it's getting close to fawning time, And I go, you're just dooming yourself, you know, that because there's nothing you're going to be able to do if a deer comes out in front of you, you're going that fast. I mean, that because I've heard of the motorcycle and deer crashes, and those are, you know, more often than not, fatal for both parties.
I mean,
that it is just, but just slow down because it's getting real close to fawning time, and the does are going to be moving around that as they're wont to do.
Thank you so much, Mark. Excellent advice. Really appreciate it. Always appreciate you listening.
Yeah, yeah. I drive here to the studio on the back country roads, and just as the sun is coming up,
exactly. You're right. A deer moving time.
But I drive the speed limit, Jane. Not like some of these other.
Not
crazy
85
people.
Miles an hour.
Nope.
Kip, is it true that I always figure if I do see one that crosses the road, I assume there are going to be four more.
Man, there's often case that there's multiple deer. Not necessarily, you know, exactly four, might be two more with it, might be six more with it. But where you see one cross, oftentimes there's at least one more there. So, you know, keep your eyes peeled at what's behind it, because just because one made it doesn't mean there's not another one coming. So if you see that one, slow down, even if it has crossed the road, slow down and be ready.
And look to where it came from, because more often than not, there's, like you said, there's going to be. They don't like to travel alone. I don't know what it is. They want company.
They want
They're
friends.
Social animals. Social. They want to be together.
Kip Adams is our guest. He is with the National Deer Association, and we're talking about the problem of deer car collisions. Wisconsin is number 5 in the country. West Virginia, Montana, Pennsylvania, Michigan, and then Wisconsin. We're kind of tied with Michigan.
I'm surprised we're not first. I mean, that was just... Actually, Kip, I was saying to Jane, I was surprised that the National Deer Association wasn't in Wisconsin, too.
What's up with that?
Well, we have a lot of members in Wisconsin, and we actually work closely with your DNR, and we have an NDA employee in Wisconsin.
And tell us about your group. What is your mission at the National Deer Association?
Well, our mission is to ensure the future of wild deer, wildlife habitat, and hunting. So we're a nonprofit national wildlife conservation organization. We teach people about deer. We teach people how to enhance habitat for deer. Our employee that's in Michigan works specifically to help new hunters who maybe didn't hunt as a kid, who want to learn now how to line them up with a mentor so that they can go hunting, help manage your deer population. So if folks are interested in deer, we're the group for them.
I will make sure that your group's website is on the show notes today, leads directly to your site, and take care of any questions you may have.
I would think having a mentor would make an enormous difference, Kip. If I am hunting curious, and rather than go out alone, it would be great to have someone to go out with who can show you the ropes a little bit.
Absolutely. You know, there's a lot of things like golf that if you want to try, you can buy a book, you can read videos, and at least get started. Hunting can be very difficult. You know, you have a bow or a crossbow or a firearm, you know. So anyway, it's having a mentor makes a huge difference. And we recognize that and do all we can to help provide those for aspiring new hunters.
I couldn't imagine being new to hunting going, yep, I'm going to go up on my own.
Right?
I would get up there and be like, this was a mistake, and I'm going to drive back to Wisconsin and find someone who can help me out.
But I bet there are people who do that.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, and then you bring it down, and you got to bring it in by yourself. That's a whole other thing, too, right?
Yeah,
exactly.
Kip Adams, the Chief Conservation Officer with the National Deer Association. Thank you so very, very much, Kip. It's been a really interesting discussion. Have a wonderful day.
My pleasure. Thank you. Have a great day.
Thanks, Kip.
Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Lord knows when to teach you a lesson you never will forget. Now my Cadillac's a total wreck. I got hoof prints all over my back and dog bites on my toes and up my shins. Yeah, my wife's run off, my job is gone, and I'm here in the jailhouse all alone, and I know one thing I will never say again. Help! Give me the police! Thank God for 911. Somebody get on out here quick, be sure to bring your gun. I got hound dogs nipping at my heels, and Bambi's wrecking my coupe de ville. Help! Give me the police! Thank God for 911. I tell you one thing, from now on, roadkill is off my menu. At least from now on, I'll make sure it's dead, not just playing possum. venison stew. I'll take chicken noodle soup any day. Barbecue's good too. And sausage? Hey, Jimmy Dean is my hero. Whoa-ho-ho.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, home for the Devil's Advocates.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
I went to go see The Queen of My Dreams, which is a beautiful film about a mother-daughter relationship. So funny, so beautiful, so heartfelt. Would highly recommend it.
And that concludes our Monday morning segment of Here's How Pat Kreitlow is an Uncultured Slob. You are cultured, man. You are a big old cup of yogurt over there. I mean, we're talking some fruit on the bottom over there.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning, 6 till 8. On your local civic media radio station and on the app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
This past week, the far, far right created what they called the Floor Action Response Team. The acronym there is FART. And no such stealth bills came to the floor that would cause the fart to rise. Again, I fact-checked it. That's what they called themselves.
That name really stinks, Maggie. Sorry,
let
I had
the
to.
Puns roll
the
in.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Box, Sweet Cal B, coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. Call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We're going to do a little housekeeping for our last break. Unfortunately, sometimes as the show is going along, and especially when we have guests and things, I can't see all of the texts as they're coming in. Yeah. There's just too many. I'm watching too many things.
Jane Matinair of Matinair on Air. We are so popular.
Oh, yeah.
We just can't keep up with the barrage of text messages.
And we love the barrage.
We love the barrage and the live stream comments.
Yes, absolutely. All the live stream comments, too. That's a whole other party going on over there.
We love the world you've created in the live stream. It's wonderful.
It is. It's a happy place to be.
Yeah. So
we were talking at the very beginning of the show about elections and how the co-chair now of the Republican National Committee was on one of the local news shows on Sunday.
Yeah.
And he's all about, vote early. I love voting early. You should all vote early. It's all good. Everything is good. And he was asked, well, Donald Trump says that that's all fraud and fraudulent and bad. Don't do that. It should be same day voting only. And he's like, yeah, no, we're going to continue to keep telling people to vote. No, how that's going to how that circles or how they're going to square that circle. But Liz from Saukville texted in. It's so ridiculous. Anyone who has watched election results knows it can take days.
Yeah,
because Laura Trump said over the weekend there should be no counting ballots after midnight on election day. That's not how things work.
No.
I've been watching elections for decades, staying up with great political commentators like Tim Russert. May he rest in peace. Absolutely.
Yes.
And then Sam from Milwaukee texted in, amazing how they can set up a narrative for the elections in plain view. And this is referring to we could have had early counting of ballots.
Yes, we could have.
And yet, we don't. Devin Lemahieu.
Yep.
Republican. Didn't want to pass that, so now this sets up the narrative. They can go back and say there were ballot dumps in the middle of the night.
And let's also not forget something. I want to inject a pinch of logic into this whole reasoning as far as, like, stop counting the ballots after midnight and all that stuff. Guess what? People who vote for you won't get counted either. It's not like those ballots become magically liberalicious after midnight.
But are there more people in one party who vote early? And this is a legitimate question. We should ask Deb Kronmiller about this from the League of Women Voters.
Mm-hmm. She will be coming on.
So when you vote in person,
yeah,
do those get counted first before the absentee ballots get counted? Because they can't start counting them until 8 o'clock.
as far as my knowledge goes, once the polls are closed, they start counting the ballots in the machine. And once they go through those, they start adding the ballots.
The absentees.
Yes, because they can, as far as I remember, it's been a while since I've been a part of this process, but you can press a button. It can calculate all of the same day voting and it'll spit out. It'll put out that number or at least store it. Mm-hmm. Then you start feeding in the ballots.
Well, and that's where it would make a difference depending upon who votes more often absentee.
Correct.
Their ballots, if they're going to do this midnight cutoff,
yeah,
are they going to be the ones most likely that are not going to get counted?
Well, yeah, absolutely. The ones that are absentee are going to get counted second.
Yes.
Because they want to take care of the ones that are already in the machine. But, you know, hey, if Brian Schimming and his guys have their way, that could all change because they're about banking that vote, baby.
Bank the votes. I love it.
So, yeah, I mean, look, we're behind safe, accessible voting for all. You know my feeling. I don't think voter ID is a necessary thing, but that's a fight for another day. When, you know, we're always going to talk about myvote.wi.gov.
Yes.
Go there, find out who your reps are, find out your polling place, find out if you are registered. Why are you saying it like that, Greg? Because I want to make sure you understand me. Find out if you are registered. You might be, and you might not be.
Well, they do purge is not necessarily always the right word, but they do look at the voting rolls. If you haven't voted in so many years.
In 4 years.
If you haven't voted in 4 years, you're going to get kicked off. Yep. And then if you want to vote that year, you might be surprised when you show up.
Yep. There's criteria of if you haven't voted in 4 years and you haven't responded to any of their communications,
right,
they will take you off the voter rolls and then you will have to re-register. Then there are some states who are just going through with their nefarious plans and throwing people off, and you have to go back, and that causes a lot of problems. So what we're just saying is you might have to re-register on the day of if you don't look.
So that's why we want you to do it now.
Yeah.
That's why we want you to check it now. And for anyone in your circle or your life who is thinking about not voting, tell them to listen to the show. Tell them to listen to the Civic Media Radio Network about why it's so important that we all take advantage of this, and it's our right.
It's our right, and it is important. And the number of people who voted in 2020 was huge, but it wasn't big enough. It was 62% of the voting population, and it was the most ever.
Yeah.
So we
had
need
a long
more.
Way to go.
Yeah. Really quick program note, if you are listening to on the radio, WISS or WRCE News from the Center and Oshkosh Air Support and WRJN, if you listen to the Brewers game tonight on your radio, not the live stream, of course, but the radio, the game has been pushed from 6:10 to 6:40, so just be mindful of that. We will still have programming before that, but the game will go on at 6:40.
All right. Thank you for that. Jack from Merrimack is on the line. Hi, Jack. We just got a couple of minutes left. What did you want to say?
I'll try to be quick. This is what you've been talking about is exactly why we need a federal law that states unequivocally and clearly every adult American citizen has the right to vote. Any law, regulation, or activity that interferes with that right is null, void, and illegal. And this means and includes, but isn't limited to, egregious gerrymandering, ridiculously demanding ID, atrociously demanding mail-in or absentee ballot rules, like, for instance, a wife can't in Wisconsin even hand in or legally mail her husband's ballot.
Yeah.
On or near site voter suppression tactics, like the so-called poll watchers who are armed, dressed in combat gear, et cetera. Purging of tens of thousands of voter rolls. You should have individual voters can be challenged. That's not a problem, but it should be done individually, not thousands and thousands at a time.
Jack, thank you so very much. We're really right up against the wall here. I really appreciate your comments, and I always appreciate you listening. Stay Close News is coming up next. Thank you, Greg and Calvin, and to our engineers. Without you, nothing works. Thank you all of you for calling and texting and listening. It means everything. I hope you find some joy today and you have the chance to share it. Keep it right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Matt Nair on Air.
John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
On the next Mino and the Mayor, Jake Vandenplas with Door County Farm for Vets joins us.
Then we'll welcome Coach Kayla, the new UWGB women's basketball coach.
Mino and the Mayor, weekday mornings 6 till 9.
As a federally licensed broadcast company, this civic media station is required by FCC regulations to accept advertising by all qualified candidates for federal office. We also accept ads from state and local candidates. We do screen announcements from issue groups and PACs and exercise discretion in airing announcements with blatantly false claims or outrageous unfounded statements. These announcements do not necessarily reflect the views of civic media, its hosts, or advertisers, and the source of all issue announcements can be found online at our FCC public file.
This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.